And now, midsummer meltdown, the stock and housing markets, and prospects for the U.S. and world economy, with Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research.
We'll look at the factors that led to the recent instability in financial markets, specifically the housing bubble and the recent run-up in stock prices. Is it likely that we'll be thrown into a long and severe economic recession?
The first thing I would like to ask, and forgive me, this is quite elementary, but maybe we need to begin by understanding what is a hedge fund. And for that matter, if somebody is able to buy a house with virtually no money down and an extended period of time to pay, Dean Baker, what's wrong with that? What's the problem? And how does that shape our economy?
The basic story is that we had an unprecedented run-up in house prices over the last decade or so. We had a housing bubble, and that was going on in the beginning of the late 90s, early part of this decade, but it really took off 03, 04, 05, 06. Part of that story was you were extending credit to people that was allowing them to buy homes at inflated prices that they really couldn't afford. That's kind of the story of the subprime that we're hearing so much about, because you had banks making loans to a lot of people that they almost certainly couldn't afford, and they didn't care, because the way our financial system works now, the issuers of mortgages almost never hold them. They throw them off into the secondary market as quickly as they can. So they'd have people coming in, borrowing money, often with very deceptive loan terms. So it's very common for many of the subprime loans to offer interest rates 1%, 2% for a year, 2 years, 3 years. And then they reset, and they could often reset 6, 7, 8 percentage points higher. So someone might have borrowed money looking at a 2% interest rate, and then it resets 2 or 3 years out to maybe an 8%, a 9%, even a 10% interest rate. So they might be able to afford that 2% interest. They can't afford the 8, 9, 10%. Now, the issuer almost certainly knows that. They don't care. The day the loan gets issued, they dump it off into the secondary market, and this is where friends of the hedge funds come in. They buy it up. They look to make money on servicing the mortgage. Turns out a lot of them made very bad bets, because a lot of those mortgages are going bad right now. The smart people run hedge funds turn out not to be very smart in some cases, and a lot of them are very heavily exposed to these mortgages that are going bad at a rapid rate.
The media is basically saying, as far as I can see it, it doesn't affect most people. It just affects a few people who are heavily invested, and most of those are big institutions. Is that true, or do we have a much bigger problem here?
The media has done systematically awful reporting on this throughout, because as house prices were going up through the roof, there were some of us who were looking at the fundamentals saying there's no explanation for this. I've gone back linking government data for 50 years. You don't have anything like this. House prices track inflation. They suddenly rose by 70% after you adjust for inflation just in the last decade. Has no precedent for that. Suddenly you get this huge run-up. No one has an explanation for it. It happens to coincide with the stock bubble. To my mind, this is just another bubble. We have a housing bubble going alongside the stock bubble, just like that in Japan, and it will collapse. Now, you had all these people saying, oh, there's nothing here, everything's great. Then we get this meltdown in the subprime, and then they suddenly go, oh, yeah, there's a problem in the subprime, but that's just this narrow area, which I should point out, by the way, subprime loans were one quarter of all the loans issued in 2006, so it's not a narrow area. So they've consistently tried to poo-poo it and always say it's a real small thing until it kind of blows up in their face and you can't say it's a small thing anymore. The commentators on this, basically, they either do not know what they're talking about or they're deliberately deceiving the public. I don't know which it is.
Somehow now the media has also kind of seemed to quell fears. They said, well, we've put $38 billion in temporary funds back into the banking system, you know, through the purchase of securities, including mortgage-backed debt, to meet demand to cash amid a rout in bonds backed by home loans to riskier borrowers. So everything's kind of, it's a little volatile, but in effect, it's temporary. The international market is stabilized because Japan's done the same thing. So we've got some liquidity now. What's the big deal?
Well, their fix is temporary. They're right about that. The bottom line is you have a lot of homes that are worth often substantially less than the amount of money that's owed. And as I say, that shows up now in the subprime, but it's showing up increasingly in other segments of the market, and it's going to show up much, much more. You know, basic stories, house prices are falling. They're falling in large parts of the country. In San Diego, they're down about 6% year over year, almost the same in the Washington, D.C. area. They're falling in Los Angeles. They're falling in San Francisco. We have a massive oversupply of housing as we've never had before. The inventory of unsold new homes is 50% higher than its previous peak back in 1990. The number of vacant ownership units is almost twice what we've ever had before. You know, this is kind of economics 101. That's why it's so painful for me to argue with economists. They're going, what do you think will happen when you have a huge excess supply of something? What happens to the price? You know, I sort of feel like, you know, we're in our intro econ class. It falls. You know, what else could happen? How else do you clear the market? So we're in a process where prices are falling. They're going to continue to fall more. In addition to the excess supply, we also, you know, because some of these people don't like to throw their money in the garbage, they're not making bad loans anymore, at least not at the same rates as they used to. So it continues to melt down. And the $30 billion that they put in was really nice. We should be happy about that. There's $10 trillion in mortgage debt out there. So how far does $30 billion go against $10 trillion? So they're absolutely right. Their fix is temporary.
It somehow something doesn't compute here. I mean, you're saying there's this big oversupply of houses, and at least in New York, people can't find affordable houses to live in, much less even if you're middle class, much less if you're poor. So what's going on in terms of what's getting built, and are these all going to be vacant for a while? I mean, what's...
Well, they probably will be vacant for a while in many cases. A lot already are. I mean, that's what I was saying. We have a record, nationwide record vacancy rate in ownership units. I can't speak to New York.
And what's the problem with that? So the units are vacant, and they would have to sell cheaper.
Yeah.
Why can't that be absorbed, if
you
will?
Oh, I think that's a great thing. The only problem is that a lot of people are going to take a really big hit because you had a lot of people that they bought those houses in 04, 05, 06 at bubble inflated prices. So you're going to have a lot of people that might have bought a home at, you know, $500,000 that will end up selling it at three.
But most of them won't actually be selling it. What percentage really? I mean, I'm just, forgive me if this is very elementary, but so if you don't necessarily refinance, which doesn't always have to be done, why should you necessarily need to use your house as collateral in that end? And most people don't actually wind up selling their houses within a short period of time. So why is this such a hit to the economy?
Well, actually, we do get like 7 million homes sold a year. At least that's what we had in 06. So that is a lot of people. And, you know, even if that falls back, we're still talking about 4 million homes a year. So you actually do get a lot of people selling it. And even if they don't sell it immediately, I mean, if you bought your home at $700,000 in 04 and you're looking to retire and maybe move to a smaller home, say in 10 or 15 years, and you're only going to get, say, $200,000 for it, you're still going to have to take that into account in your plan. So whatever you might have thought you'd have for retirement in terms of home equity, you're going to have an awful lot less than what you'd been banking on. For those who don't sell their home, they still take a big hit, at least if they bought at the bubble inflated prices. Now, the people who are okay are the people who bought a home, say, in 1995, they watched the price go through the roof, and then they saw it come back down to earth. They're not harmed by it, at least as long as they didn't take out a lot of equity when it was, you know, when the price was up through the roof. Those people are fine. But the people who bought at bubble inflated prices, or the people who borrowed against their equity, and there's an awful lot of people who've done that, those people are in for a very rude surprise.
So the question is, who takes the hit? And my question to you is, won't some of the big investment firms that have all of the mortgages on this tied up, won't they ask for a bailout?
They already are. There are two things that they're asking for. One is they want the Fed to lower interest rates, which will buy them time. There's lots of reasons why the Fed maybe should lower interest rates, but buying time for the hedge fund guys to have some chance to unload their mortgages on, you know, basically suckers, that's not a good reason to lower interest rates. So that's one thing that they're asking for by way of bailout. The other is that they want the two federally backed housing agencies, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they want them to expand their portfolios so they could hold subprime, so they could hold jumbo mortgages. These are mortgages that are more than $420,000 that those agencies can't currently hold. So they want them to expand their portfolio so that they could look, the hedge fund people could dump their bad mortgages on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which is basically the taxpayers. They are definitely looking for a bailout, and those are the two big parts of their scheme at this point.
I guess certainly that if there's a glut on housing, that affects the construction trades, and I don't know what percentage of our gross national product is based on new housing starts and construction and so on. And maybe you can explain how the volatility in the market is really rippling through the international economy as well.
Construction is a very large percent of our economy. So if you take the housing sector, which would be construction, and also the sales, you know, the realtors, the mortgage brokers, it's around 6% of GDP. It's down a little because we've already, housing has already fallen by about 20% from its peaks in 2006. So we're already down to, you know, somewhere closer to 5% of GDP. But in any case, the big chunk of GDP, and it's likely to fall back further. So if we go back to, say, the levels we were at in 1990 and the downturn there, we would lose about another 1.5 percentage points of GDP. That corresponds to roughly $200 billion a year in demand. So that's a serious hit to the economy. Now, you asked about how this affects the rest of the world. We're looking at these subprime loans. It wasn't a secret. You know, you sort of have these people, they're shocked that, you know, all these ridiculous loans were being made. It wasn't a secret. A lot of us knew about it. And, you know, we were trying to say, you know, you really should be regulating this. You shouldn't be allowing them to issue these loans that clearly people can't afford. But in any case, they were issuing them, and the question a lot of people had, well, who's holding them? It turns out a lot of them were being held by foreign banks. Erebus, a very big French bank, shut down several funds last week because it turned out they were very heavily involved in the subprime mortgage market. Apparently, some Chinese, I'm not sure if it was a central bank or banks, state-run banks, were also heavily involved. So this has traveled all around the world, and my guess is that you have a lot of foreign investors who basically had no idea what they were getting into. They probably thought that these mortgages were very low risk, when in fact they're very, very high risk. They were virtually certain to default. So, you know, basically these people got taken.
So the likelihood of having a severe recession, as far as you're concerned, is the way I'm reading you is high. What would you do right now if you were in designing policy?
Well, first off, to protect the homeowners, because, you know, you have all these people running around saying they want to bail out the hedge funds in order to protect the homeowners. And I don't like it when people take hostages. So the hedge fund folks are trying to take hostages because they don't have a claim that they should get bailed out. To help out the homeowners, if you just said, look, we're going to change the rules here. What we're going to say is that if you default on your mortgage, you could stay in your house as long as you want as a renter at the fair market price. So you pay the fair market rent. That way they're not thrown out on the street. I mean, some people really can't afford it, you know, that is a problem, and there may be some people in that boat, but that's not because of the housing situation, that's because of, you know, whatever family circumstances they have. So that's a simple remedy that takes care of the homeowners, you know, with the snap of a finger. You know, if you could afford the rent, you could stay in the place as long as you want, end of story. Now, in terms of the rest of the housing market, I frankly would like to see it collapse as quickly as possible, because a moment ago I was saying, you know, how the people are hurt most are those who buy in at bubble inflated prices. Every week we have over 100,000 people who are buying homes, many of them at the bubble inflated prices. I don't think that's funny. I would rather see the bubble correct absolutely as quickly as possible and then try to pick up the pieces. So what does that mean? We're probably looking at a very serious downturn because we've lost all these jobs in housing and construction. We also have lost all this wealth. So all these people that had been spending based on the fact that they had a $500,000 home now finally only have a $300,000 home. We're going to have to make that up. And the way you do that, on the one hand, you get the Federal Reserve Board to have low interest rates to help boost the economy and hopefully not kick off another financial bubble this time. The other thing you do, you have the government deliberately stimulate the economy by having more spending, cutting taxes. You cut it for people in the middle and bottom, not for the richest people in the country. You can get the economy back on its feet. I won't say that it will be painless, but we shouldn't have to endure a long slump. With the right policies, can't say it'll be painless, but we can minimize the pain.
And if people want to find out more, where can they get a copy of Midsummer Meltdown: Prospects for the Stock and Housing Markets?
Paper's on the website for the Center for Economic and Policy Research. It's www.ceper.net.
Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, thank you for this summary analysis of a very important issue that is occurring as we speak.
And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.